Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome to episode 2 of Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Today, we're going to touch on the topic of my child has a whole other life.
Yes. So thinking about coping and striving with the loss of control. And we were thinking about this specifically about coping with the fact that your child has a life outside of your own. So I think we were, just going over some situations in our head. And I actually wanted to start by asking you, Carrie, where do you think that first happened for you? So the idea that, you know, for me, it was like a very strong realization one day where I just realized, like, oh my gosh, my daughter has a life completely outside of me.
Yeah, I think that happened when almost, I think it was when he was a little bit older, actually, because when he was little, he was still just hanging around with family, and I knew all of my ex's family. So that didn't really like strike me as much. But as he's been getting older and making friends, now he has friends that are his dad's friends' kids that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll come home and tell me stories. I'm like, who is that? And you really have no idea who they are. So I think that's when it kind of like first hit me. But what about you?
Yeah. And I think it's a good point, we were going to say about that it is definitely a normal process for kids to, separate from their parents. And I guess for me, because my daughter was just one when we first separated, that it was, and also, in the time of social media, things become clear to you so quickly that maybe it would have taken a little bit of more time, to get back to you. But I remember, just sort of scrolling through Facebook like we do, just going through my newsfeed, and all of a sudden a picture of my daughter came up, and I had this whole rush of emotion of just like, first, like, oh my gosh, there's my daughter, she's so cute, and then just complete like anger and rage, like, who took this picture of her? She's just a baby, and where is she, and what is she doing, and is she okay? And it was just like, oh my gosh, that there is a whole life that she has now. She's with her dad, and that's great, they're doing fun things, but it's apart from me. So sort of like a guilt, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of, I'm glad they're doing fun things, so I'm kind of happy. It seems like he's in a good place. But just her being a young baby and having something apart from me. And I think, as moms, I think there's like a guilt that we can feel sometimes too, like we should be with our kids all the time, even though we know that's not healthy. Like, oh, I feel bad, I need to put them in daycare. I feel bad if I'm going to do a girls' weekend away with my college roommates, or I'm going to do, a date night. Like, you feel kind of guilty.
Sure.
That you even are separating from your kids. So I think that's probably common for any mom or any family member. But just seeing it right in front of you and struggling with, separation and divorce. So that was what it was for me. And I can say it's definitely gotten a million times better from there. But it can be a little bit of a gut punch.
Yeah. And I think you made a good point with social media, definitely making it just out there, maybe before you would have a chance to talk to your ex about it. Or, I remember very clearly, it wasn't even my own story, but it was happened to a friend, and, they had split families. So then I'm friends with the male. So he got into a new relationship, and his new girlfriend or fiance at the time was posting pictures a lot of his daughter.
Yeah.
social media. And I remember looking at it thinking, oh, like, I wonder how the mom feels about that, because I knew how it made me feel. And I'm not related to them at all.
Right.
And in my own situation, I was always very cautious in the beginning to not do that, just because I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like I shouldn't post stuff a lot. And I'm a social media person, so I post things of my kids all the time.
Right.
But I just felt in the beginning, I was careful about it. Now, you know, it's been 7 years. They're my kid. I feel like they're my children, even right. though I didn't birth them, and I feel free to post whatever I want. But it took a long time for me to get comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right. The social media definitely plays a part.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a good conversation to even have from the beginning, you know, with your kids, the other parent, of just, you know, what is cool to put on social media? Like, can we just put pictures of the kids? Is it you and, you know, the new girlfriend and the kids, or me and, you know, my new husband with the kids? Like, you know, I think just trying to be as accommodating as possible if things are good. I mean, if, you know, it takes a lot of effort to maintain a cordial relationship. So I think just trying to incorporate that into the conversation can be helpful, because it is reciprocal then too, in the best case scenario. So, you know, I just put pictures of my daughters online. I try not to put, you know, too many pictures of other people, just so that it just, I don't know, there's just, you take that element away.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think, like we had touched on too, so I think with blending families and split families, all of this, like coping with the loss of control or not knowing what your child is doing every minute of every day, will happen naturally as they grow up. But I feel like it happens way sooner in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, like, so I grew up, both my parents, you know, were together. They're still together. No one's ever gotten divorced in my family, as far as I know, or, you know, people have just always been together. So, you know, like, I went to camp when I was in third grade and I went away for a week, but, you know, my daughter went away for a week on vacation without me when she was three, when she was four, when she was five. So it is just bringing all of those transitions at a much earlier time.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was thinking too, so, you know, school starting, and we're kind of like now into October and kind of negotiating like holidays and stuff like that. But one thing that struck me when we were kind of preparing for this was, I remember when my daughter started preschool 2 years ago, and it was at a preschool that's, you know, associated with the college where my ex works. And it was kind of like, I guess, that because it was affiliated with where he worked, it was sort of like his deal, like his child, his, you know, whatever. So we walk in the door the first day and I'm holding my daughter, and they're like, oh my gosh, you guys, this is like so-and-so's daughter. And I was like, I'm her mom. I'm holding her right now.
She's mine too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, she's, I gave birth to her, you guys. I hate to tell you. So I think it's just really funny how even with school, you know, you can miss certain things or there's certain alignments. And so we've, I don't know, maybe just consciously tried very hard to keep things very even. So right now, I think it's fantastic. Like, our school, my daughter goes to a Catholic school, and the teacher messages us over an app, and she messages me, and then she messages my daughter's father separately. So it's like we have as much of a relationship and as much access to the teacher independently as we want. So it's never like, oh, did you get that email? I didn't get that email. Oh, you got that paper? I didn't get that paper. You know, things get sent to one address. So I think in some ways now, technology can really help there be an equal balance with school.
I agree. We have a similar app. My stepdaughter goes to a Catholic school, and just this year they have something like that with a social app. Because prior to that, it would be, you know, the letter home in the mail, which was always a week late. So we always missed everything. Like, we would get it on Friday with what happened that week.
Yeah.
And it was like always a running joke, because I'm like, well, how am I supposed to be at the book fair on Wednesday when I get the letter on Friday?
Right.
So definitely the social media with the schools is way better. And, you know, the elementary school where my three small kids go, they have everybody's emails listed. So right when, you know, you enroll them for school, they get all the step parents, the parents, the grandparents, whoever wants to be on the list, and they get all the same communication. Oh. So I think like they almost are very helpful with it. They're very understanding of the split families, and they actually ask you like, may we contact, are there any issues we need to be aware of? Like I just registered my youngest Chase for pre-K this summer, and they asked all of those questions. Like, are there any custody issues, anything we need to be aware of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of nice now. I guess, you know, you really expect every dynamic, every situation, and that it's nice when it's not just one cookie cutter, you know, form or explanation. You know, I needed extra lines to explain who all the people were that my daughter could possibly have picking her up, like a girlfriend and
right, yeah,
and dad and some other people. Yep. So yeah, it is kind of nice. So I would say, you know, just don't be afraid to advocate for equal access really to your own child, even though it seems like it should be a right. Sometimes it isn't.
Right. And I think, you know, for probably women that are listening to this, maybe some men at some point, but, you know, it's hard for us to lose control when it's our child. So whether you're the stepmom coming into this picture and you're trying to, you know, find your place in this whole process, or you're the mom feeling that you're left out and now your child is going to another, either just to your ex or your ex and his whole new family, whatever the dynamic may be, like, just give it time and understand that it's going to be okay eventually. It just really does take time until you feel all right with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think once you and your ex start feeling comfortable, and certainly in the beginning, there's so much tension, there can be animosity, there can be court issues, and you're really hashing things out that can be brutal. Where it's just highly unlikely that things are going to be perfect right off the bat. But over time, you know, all of that fades, all of that settles. And, you know, that what's left is, okay, what is this picture and how are we going to negotiate it? So, you know, I was telling like a few friends about doing the podcast about blended families. And just today I found out that, so I'm going to take my daughter to my ex-in-laws, and we're all going to go trick-or-treating. My second daughter, my ex, you know, sister-in-law. And I was telling my parents and they were like, wow, that really is a blended family.
Yeah.
So
we actually do the same thing at Halloween. My ex comes up here and trick-or-treats with me, my husband, our son, and then my two little ones. And we all go like with some neighbors and their friends, and my husband and my ex-husband bring whiskey and they drink whiskey as we're trick-or-treating, and everybody, it's like a big happy family. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's, so there's that sense in the beginning of like a loss of like, oh my gosh, we're just always going to have to split the holidays, or we're going to have to, you know, I'm just losing. It's just so much loss, like loss of us as a family unit and loss of control over my child's life. And I have to really trust the other person, but it can be really awesome things like that, you know, new traditions. And, you know, even when we're thinking about like the other family, you know, so over the summer, my daughter went on vacation with my ex, and they were saying like, okay, we're going to go to Pennsylvania. And I was like, that's cool. And then it was like, and also, you know, his girlfriend's parents are, that's where we're staying. And we're, you know, going to be hanging out with the cousins and stuff like that. And a part of me, like my first, of course, reaction was like, ooh, who are these people? But it's been like 3 years at this point in time. So they're clearly, you know, nice people and involved. And so for my daughter now, she has other kids that she can hang out with and new experiences. And that's, you know, only benefits her to have more people love her.
Yep. I agree. And we use that line a lot that, you know, you're lucky. You have more people that care about you.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be something we might talk about in another podcast. But interestingly, that was our focus when we first got our family together, was that, like, listen, you guys are so lucky. You have two families. You have two birthday parties. You have two Christmases. Like, mm-hmm. Why are the two children that were going back and forth at the time, we've really focused on trying to make them feel comfortable in both places.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest daughter came to me one day. I don't know. She's six now. So maybe she was four. And she's like, but mom, how come I only get one dad? And it was just like smacked us right in the face. We're like, oh, like, you're right. Like, they're almost like, we almost emphasized it so much.
You're depriving them.
Yes.
Right. How dare you?
Exactly. I only get one birthday.
Right.
Like, well, actually, that's normal.
It's so perfect. That means you guys are doing a great job. And she,
I know. And then you feel like, okay, well, the other two kids get to go to Disney sometimes with their other parents,
right?
And now this one's like, well, I only got to go once, and they got to go twice. And you're like, oh my word, okay, let's refocus.
I'm sorry, your life is terrible.
I know, right? Poor kids.
Oh my gosh. So we also wanted to talk about. So we wanted to talk about coping with the loss, but also how to thrive in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, again, timing and time, and obviously the relationship that you have with your ex are all huge parts of this, because mm-hmm. you can thrive when everything is a decent relationship and there's good communication. And it's harder, definitely, when that communication's not there, and when feel like, you know, you're not secure when your child's with the other parent, or you're not getting the communication back and forth. So obviously those are hard things to work through, but thinking about thriving and taking care of yourself. I remember when we first split, and then my husband and I were first dating, we had like kid-free weekends, which was kind of awesome. I mean, I was a new mom. It was my first child, but I had an entire weekend where he would go with his dad, and I'm like now dating a new person, right? So, you know, the dating phase is so fun. Mm-hmm. And we would have kid-free weekends. Like, his daughters would be with their mom and my son would be with his dad, and we just had each other.
Yeah. And that's a really great way of trying to, you know, really highlight the positive of, you know, your son was good, he was taken care of, and so now let's work on us. Let's work on our relationship, and let's get to know each other and have a great time and blow off some steam. So I think that's really a wonderful way to look at it. And if you have other kids, then there's always the distraction of, okay, so, and that's kind of how I deal with it, is I always have someone around. And somebody asked me the other day, well, you know, don't the girls miss each other? And of course they do. I mean, they love each other, but in some ways I think they actually can love each other more because they're not constantly competing over my time and attention. And there is a lot of one-on-one time when they're not together. So we can do little kid things with Gwenny. We can do big girl things with Rylan. We can, you know, read different things and watch different things. So I think you can really even just tailor it to the children that are in the house and make it special for them. So nobody's missing out. Nobody's lacking anything. It's, you know, Rylan and mommy time, or we're all together, or, you know, somebody's visiting somebody else. So I think it is in how you frame it.
Yeah. And that's a good point. And I think, you know, that is a great, situation that you have with the way you've created the scheduling, because one thing I know I lack in our family dynamic is the one-on-one time. And I try, you know, we try to incorporate that as much as possible, but with six, it's hard to find that. Like, I just, most of the time I'm kind of running.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to carve out, like, even if it's just 15 minutes, just, you know, just when we went back to school this September, I started doing different bedtime rituals. So before, I would send everybody up to bed together, and then everybody's fighting for my time. We'd try to do like a group story and nobody would stop talking. So I would get frustrated and it was like a big mess. So now I've staggered their bedtime so that I get 10 minutes with each child.
Yeah.
And I kind of just try to rotate who goes first, who goes last, but at least I get, at least it's only 10 minutes, but it's 10 minutes. They can read to me or I read to them. And I just feel they get a little bit of just mom time.
Mm-hmm.
Because my son, and I don't know if this is mom guilt, like we talked about before, mm-hmm. or if he's actually feeling it, but when he goes to his dad, my son is the only child and dad's not remarried yet.
Mm-hmm.
So when he comes home, he's one of the mix and he craves that one-on-one attention, which is hard for me to give him. Like, we're busy.
Right.
So I think that you're right. Like, having that time with them to give them extra connection and extra reassurance that, you know, they're home and, you know, you're happy that they're here is definitely helpful for the mom or the parent and the child.
Yeah. And I even try to frame it like, you know, it's okay to miss each other. I miss you guys all the time, but I know you are having a great time with your dad and daddy misses you. And, you know, that's important for you and daddy to have, or, you know, Ryra was with her dad and we're going to do something else today. So yeah, I think it's all how you frame it, but you know, I think the one-on-one time is really important. So how about if you don't have another kid or you don't have a spouse? What do you
right.
think
so that I was? Think that is where you plan, right? So
mm-hmm.
I distinctly remember my dad, my parents divorced when I was 2 and I am the only child. Mm-hmm. So my mom moved me from Pennsylvania to New Jersey when I was 2 years old and left my dad and like her entire family up there. And I distinctly remember as I got probably when I was a teenager, my dad finally started like talking to me more of as an adult and telling me that he would drive 2 hours down to pick me up, turn around. We would drive 2 hours back, spend the weekend and then do it again on Sunday. And he would spend all of the 2 hour drive Sunday crying.
Oh,
and he would be planning like what he's going to do when he gets home. Like he would have it set because otherwise he'd be so sad.
Yeah.
He didn't have another wife. He didn't have other kids. And I think that kind of stuck with me because planning is crucial. So when you know, like your child, if you're not remarried yet and you don't have any other kids, or even if you are remarried, but there's no other child there,
mm-hmm.
you have to plan. You have to plan for when they're not going to be there. Keep yourself busy doing whatever it is that, you know, makes you happy, whether it's cleaning the house or going out with friends or just spending time with your boyfriend or husband or whatever, but just to kind of, especially in the beginning, keep your mind off of it.
Yeah. So, I had a really funny thing happen. So the way our schedules worked out one time, there was like a couple Sundays where I didn't have either one of my girls. And I went over a friend's house who's fantastic and she's always busy and there's always stuff happening at her house. So it was like, you know, just a good, safe place to go. And I was just, I guess, lamenting the fact that like I was sad and I didn't have my kids. And she was like, do you want to watch my kid? And I'll go have some good guilt-free time because that's no problem. I have no problem being right. without my kid. I would pay somebody for it right now. So please go and enjoy yourself. And it was almost like I had permission at that point in time to really enjoy that time. So you know how we are so busy as moms. People work, people have their kids, you're trying to do social things, extracurricular activities with your kids. So if you have a few hours to yourself, take it, run with it, go to the movies by yourself, go for a run, go see your friend in New York that you haven't seen in 3 years. You know, really take that time. It does take planning. You know, work like an extra shift. I know I change my whole schedule around so that I can work late certain nights. I get out a lot earlier on certain days. So it accommodates everybody that's in my life. And it really works. And I appreciate it now. And maybe that's just taking time to, you know, really get to that point where I don't feel guilty anymore. I do like the time I have alone. I feel like I can sleep if I need to sleep. I can, you know, catch up on work. I can bring my laptop out and I can just make it work. And I would say, you know, it's just like everything else. Time heals all wounds.
Yep. And I think, you know, I'm curious about this too, and maybe we'll get some input from some of our listeners, but the guilt, like I constantly feel some type of mom guilt. And I'm interested to know, is it a normal mom thing for every mom and all moms, or is it compounded because we are doing the blending and the step and there is inner, like, inert guilt because we broke up a family? Like, I don't know if that makes it worse or if it's really just another aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. I know. And, you know, I would only say, I totally agree with you in being, you know, in our mom's club where you and I have met each other, that it seems like to me, I don't know that I've ever met another mom that doesn't feel guilty. You know, it's like the moms that work feel like, oh gosh, I should be at home, like making things and educating my children and doing all this stuff. And the moms that are at home feel like I'm not contributing, you know, we're struggling financially. And it's almost like you just, I think we're expected to be full-time moms for those of us that work outside the home, full-time, you know, workers, and also be good daughters and good friends and good sisters and good spouses. And so it's just impossible. But I do think that, you know, because we made choices, you know, were sort of like made for us, that there is a guilt about like, okay, this unit broke up and now we all have to figure it out. And now we're on to like the next chapter, that's something that I guess we feel responsible for. But even so, that might have happened without our like intentionally doing it or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know, what do you think about when can you kind of turn that corner and find the silver lining in the situation? Like, mm-hmm. when did that happen for you where you got past the, you know, I don't want to say guilt again, but the loneliness and the just kind of feeling sorry about it until you found like, oh, but wait.
Yeah. You know what, for me, it really happened. And maybe it's just the, you know, the transitions recently that have gone well for us. So my daughter started kindergarten and I feel like it's just been a whole new chapter for us where I finally feel like, maybe I'm not ruining her life. Maybe somehow she's actually thriving. She seems to be relatively normal. She certainly has her quirks. But in general, the message that I get from her these days is how much she loves her family. And her family includes me, my parents, my other daughter, her dad, her dad's girlfriend. You know, it's like she just loves life so much. And she loves two Christmases. She loves vacation. Yeah. You know, she just is like so astounded at how awesome her life is. So for me, I'm like, maybe it was all okay. So for me, I guess that's where I feel like, and you know, for as a therapist, I, you know, hear people all the time talking about relationship difficulties and parenting and, you know, marriage and separation. And I remember one of my clients early on who was separated, I said, how do you know it's working for you? How do you know that things are getting better? And he said, you know, I feel like even though I don't have my son all the time that I have with him, I'm 100% invested. I'm 100% attentive. I'm 100% there. And when we were together full time and we were still, you know, he was still with his ex-wife, he said, I would go in another room. I would just throw on the TV. I was angry. I was upset. I was drinking and I was not a good dad. And I really took that as, you know, when I'm with my kids, I am there 100%. And when we're not together, then I can do all the other things that distract me. And so that's how I feel like it makes sense for me.
I think that's great. And I think that my ex would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the same way personally because I don't ever feel like I get time to stop and enjoy it. And maybe it's just because of our dynamic, but I feel like, and maybe it's self-induced too, I don't know, but I love that, you know, you're able to step back and look at it and say, yeah, there's two families, and it gives you a little bit of breathing time. So that when you do have your girls, you can be 100% there.
Right. And you might not feel that breathing time because you have like, you know, three jobs and a podcast.
But this is fun.
Oh, this is amazing. I'm just saying some of that might be self-imposed, which we'll have your therapy session later.
Okay. But yeah, so double the experiences, the two families. I love that Ryland's like thriving in that. And I think Lucas does too, actually. I think that he struggles with it sometimes, but he definitely is well-loved. And his dad's side has a huge family. So he's got a million cousins and aunts and uncles. And on my side, it's just me. So there are no cousins. There are no aunts and uncles. But my husband has a brother, and there's three kids on that side. So he does have, you know, the family on both sides. And they are. I mean, I don't know what people, what you believe or what, you know, people might be listening believe. But I believe that, you know, there was a plan for me. And God, maybe I didn't understand it at first. Maybe it's still developing. But I think that everybody's going to be fine. They're all thriving. They're going to work it out. Hopefully we're not screwing them all up.
Right.
You know, but yeah.
I think that- And I am not a religious person, but I always, you know, just whether it's just me be very narcissistic, but I always have confidence in myself. And I always think that I'm always making the best decision at that time. So whatever decision I make, I am fully evaluating everything, and I feel compelled to make that decision. So if I look back on things and it didn't work out, I can say at that time, I didn't know what would happen in the future, but I felt very strongly that that was the right decision.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, you do the best you can with what information you have at that point.
Right, right. So whether, you know, you feel like it's, you know, God or you, you know, that you are, we're all just doing the best we can. We're all well-intended, and we're all trying to make the best choices for our families.
Agree.
So do you have any information you wanted to share? Anything that was helpful?
We did. I have a link we're going to post in the bottom. It was a Huffington Post article that I read, just on some divorce advice and what to do as related to this topic with how, you know, your child has another life outside of your house and how to kind of navigate through that a little bit. So we will post that in the comments if anybody's interested in checking it out. And
also, if we just wanted to talk really quickly about other places for support. So I use like babycenter.com. They have a million boards on there. If you're not into like online stuff, there's a lot of moms clubs in the towns that you live in or regionally where you can connect with other moms. And what I thought was great about our moms club is we have people that have every single type of dynamic, you know, single moms, married moms, remarried moms, you know, people that have adopted. So it's just, there's everything, you know, and that you can find support in every way from every person.
I agree. And that, you know, with the moms club is really crucial because especially if you're the mom who is now single and your child goes to their spouse, like having a network of friends to say, I want to come out and have a drink, or I want to go for a run, or whatever it is, having that group that will be understanding of what you're going through is super helpful.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, thanks for joining us. We hope we shared something helpful for you tonight. If something resonated with what you guys are going through, let us know and share our podcast with your friends.
Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills and blend gracefully. See you next week on The Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families.
Good night. Cheers.